This is the FCB Podcast Network.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of A Very Merry Podcast. I am your very merry but tired host, Kira Davis, and I am here with my very merry co-host, Amelia Hamilton. Hi, Amelia.
Hi, Merry Christmas.
Good morning. We're recording in the morning. We're recording the morning after midterm elections, the day after midterm elections. As many of you may know, I've been running for my school board here in Orange County, and I am so excited to tell you that I will not know for weeks if I've won. California cannot count votes. So I'm exhausted. I was up all night just like Amelia. I was dozing off at the computer, but I would like have my head refresh.
Yeah, I have you pulled up on my phone. I was refreshing. So I'm on Eastern time, and I'll be honest, I only made it to like 11 o'clock my time because I go to bed early like an old person. But, you know, there were no votes in, like they had just released the first batch.
Yeah, it's so pathetic.
It's the first thing I did this morning. So.
Yeah, and nothing was different this morning. It's ridiculous. So I actually am in a way glad. I would rather not know and record today's episode than be all sad about losing and record today's episode. So I was a little nervous about that, but I did watch this movie yesterday while I was waiting for the day to go because waiting for election results is like, it was just torture. So, and there's nothing left to do. I mean, I've spent the last 4 months literally campaigning every day, walking, passing out flyers, holding meet and greets, doing social media, like, and yesterday it all came to a halt. Like there was literally nothing else to do. So I was like, this is a great opportunity. I'm going to put on our movie. I made myself like a little hot toddy and I sat on my couch and I watched our movie. And our movie this week was Lights, Camera, Christmas.
Yes.
And I have to say before you set the movie up for us that I was relieved that it was a little bit more Hallmarky than our last one. Me too. I still have some criticisms, but I enjoyed it much more than our last movie. And yeah, so we've got a lot to talk about. So set up Lights, Camera, Christmas for us.
All right. Lights, Camera, Christmas. So it follows Carrie, who is played by one of our favorites, Kimberly Sustad.
Yeah.
Brad, who is played by John Brotherton, who we also love. Mm-hmm. And then Carrie's mom, Nancy, is also in it a lot. I had to look up the actress. Her name's Laura Soltis, but we've definitely seen her.
Laura Soltis. Yes. My husband and I were trying to figure out what her name was. Okay. Yeah. I like her. I like her a lot.
So it looks like she was in like, I think she's been in lots of other Hallmark stuff. She was in like Virgin River also, and she was in one of the many Step Up movies, Step Up All In.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, that's where I know her from, the Step Up franchise.
Step Up All In, Step Up 8, yeah.
well, it actually makes sense now, Amelia, because Mark last night, he was like, who is that? She looks familiar. Well, of course, my husband is a huge fan of Virgin River.
Oh, there you go. I was going to say, he seems like somebody who might have seen all the Step Up movies, to be honest.
No, he's seen Virgin River, the soap opera made for middle-aged housewives.
Virgin River, that's very on brand for Mark.
Yeah, it very much is. So I can't wait to tell him where he recognized this woman from. Okay, well, anyway, I love her. I find her to be absolutely delightful. And we've often talked, Amelia, about Hallmark maybe investing in some more like later in life love stories. And she would be a great candidate.
She'd be a great one. She's a beautiful woman, great actress. We enjoyed her.
Yeah.
All right. So the movie opens on opening night of a movie, My Favorite Santa. And there's a panel after the premiere. So we find out that Brad Baxter is known as the king of Christmas movies. He's up there for the panel. Nancy, Carrie's mom, the main girl's mom, who I noticed, well, let me just say, she asks a question about the costumes. Basically, it turns out her daughter, Carrie, designed the costumes for the film, and she just wanted an excuse to get some love for her daughter, which is something moms do. So Carrie heads up to the stage, dressed to the nines. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is dressed to like the seven and a half.
She was dressed to the nines. Like, she looked like she was going for her big reveal at the palace ball, coming down the steps after nannying the kids all day. That was her dress. Yeah,
it was. Yeah. So basically she asks, you know, we find out that Carrie did the costumes for this, and they're like, and how that came about is a long story. And then now it's a year ago.
This is where I was like, you know what? I don't like starting at the end of a movie. It's not my favorite plot device. I think it's lazy storytelling. And I didn't think this movie earned it. It didn't earn it.
Yeah.
So I was a little miffed that it started at the end and it didn't need to.
Right. I agree. So just to say, as the movie goes on, I think after every commercial break, we started back at the panel and mm-hmm. somebody would ask a question that takes us to the next part of, you know, the actual story, which takes place a year ago.
So this panel is really basically telling us the story of the movie.
Right. Yeah. So I felt like it was a device that wasn't really needed. I think if you took out every scene with the panel, nothing would have changed in the movie.
No. Yeah, absolutely.
The only thing is that we can tell there's a little bit of tension between Carrie and Brad, but I mean, mm-hmm. that would have come up anyway. So.
Right. But that's one thing we are meant to notice, that there is some tension between them on stage. So then we get treated to this story in flashback.
Yeah. So what the deal is, King of Christmas, Brad Baxter, is filming a movie with Mariah, played by Veronica Long. And I thought it was hilarious that the two female leads were named Mariah and Carrie. I enjoyed that very much.
Wait, what? Hang on. No, I did not notice that. And they made an All I Want for Christmas reference in the movie.
They did.
And we know one of our all-time favorite Hallmark Christmas movies is the Mariah Carey movie.
Yes.
Which also has a former queen. She's still here. Queen of Hallmark. Queen.
Yeah, the reigning queen.
Yeah, the reigning queen. She's the only one left. Lacey Chabert. She's the only one left standing. Oh my gosh. This is like when I learned that Ben Affleck's character in Reindeer Games was named Rudy for Rudolph. And I was like, I learned it like 10 years after seeing that movie and it blew my mind. This is like Amelia when my son Scott found out that Hank is short for Henry and Jack is short for John. And it blew his mind. He literally could not handle it. This is how I feel right now. I did not even notice this.
Yes, yes. Recently, a six-year-old that I know discovered that my dad is actually my dad. He just knew him as like Mr. Hamilton. And he was like, that is your dad. And it like.
it blew his brain.
It's there are things that are mind blowing, and the characters named Mariah and Carrie is just
Mariah and Carrie, and they do make Mariah Carey references in this movie.
I loved it.
And he's the King of Christmas, and who's the Queen of Christmas? Mariah Carey.
Yeah,
unbelievable. I can't believe I was a little distracted when I was watching the film.
I get it.
All right. Well, this is glorious.
I got you. All right. So they're filming this movie in the small town in Colorado, and Carrie, she's not.
Or a set on Universal Studios.
Right. Which is actually a set in Canada. Yeah. There were actually moments where I was going, I'm not sure if they're on the movie set or in the town right now, because
same.
It looks like a set for what's it supposed to be.
Yes, you couldn't tell the difference because it's supposed to be a movie set, but then it's clearly a movie set that's being filmed on a movie set.
Right.
It was so meta.
So when they went into what was supposed to be the real town, I was like, are they on the set now?
I can't tell if they're
all the same.
It'll probably pop up in conversation, but there were moments where it was like, oh, clearly this is a movie set.
Yeah.
But it was very hard to tell.
Without the clues, we didn't know.
Yep.
She is not into Christmas movies. She doesn't know anything about them. She doesn't know who Brad Baxter is. And her mom is super excited and like, I can't believe it. So she's sitting here talking to her mom about Christmas movies. And suddenly she's like, well, I'm never going to be able to pay my back rent. It's a non sequitur, but whatever. It turns out it was because she was going through her mail. She opened up an eviction notice.
Yes. Eviction notices. They do pop up from time to time in the Hallmark universe. It's one of the few tragedies that's allowed to happen in the Hallmark universe.
Yep. And I don't think it would be a huge spoiler to say that the tragedy isn't fully allowed to happen because there's an eviction notice. But the eviction doesn't really happen.
Oh, yeah. Spoilers. Spoilers. But also, I did look at, she has a, it's a clothing store. And looking at her inventory and the small town, it's a very small town. I mean, they make references the whole time to how small and quaint this town is. Yeah. Like, I don't know if a and high fashion,
this, like, high end bespoke. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if that's like a good business decision in a tiny.
Well, it's not because she's getting evicted.
Yeah. Right.
And as we discussed in detail last week, you do actually need cash flow.
Right. Right. We've been through this. You know what she needs is Robert Barron.
She needs Robert to run her business.
He's Robert Barron from Food Stuff.
He's like the
to
Hallmark business mentor now.
Yes.
Okay. So meanwhile, Brad is arriving in town and he's a little mad that there's no fanfare because he is a major star. He is the king of Christmas. Nobody's like here to greet him, whatever. But one thing that I thought was interesting was then we do meet the mayor and they talk about how he got the movie filmed there. And they mention a few other things like tax, you know, credits. And it is kind of an interesting part of the movie making business that different states offer incentives for people to come film there.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of interesting that they worked that in, the business end of it.
Yeah, well, there's always a little insider. There were a few inside jokes for the filmmaker set in there. But yeah,
So so Brad meets the mayor, then he has a phone call, it's his agent, he has to take it, and his phone dies. At the time his phone dies, we get to the meet cute. Carrie walks by and he's like, oh, hey, can I borrow your phone? Would you lend someone a random on the street your phone? Because she does not recognize Brad. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't. But I think in the Hallmark universe, again, it's okay to do this. There's no crime in a Hallmark universe. So I think it really, unless you're on Murders and Mysteries channel. But yeah, so, but Christmas Hallmark universe, there's no crime. So I, Keira Davis, would not lend a random stranger my phone, but she did. He needed to call his manager back. And I found it very interesting that he just knew that number by heart. My husband does not know my phone number and we've been married for 25 years and had the same number for 20 years. but Brad knew his agent's number and
he did. I
would be lost. If I had to call you, Amelia, like without the contact in my phone, no, it's not happening.
I have no idea. Like, I don't even know if you have a California phone number.
I do. I do.
Okay, there you go. Like, I wouldn't even know what area code to start with.
I know. I was like, oh, he just grabbed that phone and dialed the number like a pro. Who does that anymore?
He was ready. All right. So back in Carrie's store, after she gets her phone back, her mom is decorating before Thanksgiving. Now, Keira and I agree on this. Mm-hmm. No. Day after Thanksgiving, listen, we will watch the movies.
Yeah.
I would start listening to the music a little earlier. I think Keira has a harder line on listening.
I do.
Starting music, but like the tree does not go up. The lights don't go up until the day after Thanksgiving.
We're losing that battle so hard though, Amelia. Look at us. We're doing Hallmark when we started at before Halloween. Yeah. Before Halloween, all the Christmas decorations were up at Costco. I was at my friend's house the other night. She has her Christmas tree up. So we're losing this battle.
We are.
And I don't know how we're ever going to win it back.
I don't either. I don't know. All right. So she's, you know, so we're getting the idea. Her mom is Christmas crazy. She's a little bit of a Grinch. So, you know, she's struggling. She is getting evicted. So she goes to like a job site, like, you know, like her Indeed or whatever, and just types in fashion designer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah. Just type in fashion designer. You get, you know, obviously everything you need comes right up. And it basically, if you type fashion designer into Google, you'll just get instructions on how to become a fashion designer.
Right. And basically, like, I feel like at Chanel, they're just sitting over there in Paris being like, let's put a job on Indeed.
Yeah.
And help.
By the way, if Indeed would like to sponsor this podcast, please reach out. You can reach our producer, Darvio Morrow at darviomorrow@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. All right.
Darvio. So anyway, I thought that was hilarious that that's how you get the job. So they're sitting there in the store. She's looking for a new job and the stars come in. And what I found was sort of interesting here also. So the store is a mixture of like high-end, clothing of other brands and Carrie's own designs.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
the star goes, you know, crazy about it. And she talks about how Brad used to make furniture before he became a star. And I thought that storyline was going to like go somewhere. I thought,
yeah, it did not.
It did not.
It was completely useless. Was it just there? Because usually what would happen, and I expect it to happen, was that we find out, because when we first see Brad, like you set it up, he's very arrogant. We know this because he wears his sunglasses all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's very arrogant celebrity. But then I guess we're meant to see, he has this like untapped talent, this creativity, right? And we see that a lot. You know, the business guy who had to give up his painting hobby early on in his life because he had to support his dying mother or something. But usually it comes back, right? They've got to work on something. She makes costumes. He makes furniture. Surely there's some kind of parade that they got to get ready for or something.
I thought even she'd find a sketchbook or, you know, something. Yeah.
Nothing.
It felt kind of leave it. They reference it again in passing one more time, but
yeah. I wonder if something got cut. If there was like a plot line that just got cut.
All the stuff with the panel and made him a furniture designer.
Absolutely. Anyways, yeah, that was a red herring. It didn't go anywhere. Yeah. But that's a popular Hallmark trope, and they just dropped the ball on that one. They dropped the snowball on that one, as it were, Amelia.
The snowball. You know who else dropped the ball is Caleb. What's his name? Caleb, the director, the producer.
Caleb.
I guess he hasn't actually dropped the ball, but he has lost his costume designer, we find out. And
not a single costume designer.
No, he calls everybody. He calls all of Colorado. 8.5 months pregnant. He's calling people who are out of the country.
Yeah.
He cannot get anyone. So Mariah is like, hey, you know, the lady who runs that store designs beautiful stuff. So he goes to the store and he buys everything at the store and then asks about their return policy. But I couldn't really figure out why they would need the same item of clothing in like 6 sizes.
Right.
Well, like one of everything. Sure.
Well, I got the impression that he was like, since we don't know sizes, we'll just buy everything and then we'll return what we don't need. So he cleaned her out. But again, I was like, okay, that's great. But movies have like themes and, you know, like planning. And he just walked into the store and was like, I'll buy everything. But how do you even know that the people on set are going to look good in any of these clothes or that any of them fit your plot? I mean, is it even in the same good?
This person he's period? Never heard of in his life, who no one has heard of before an hour ago.
Well, he was desperate. He called every costume designer in the state.
He did. No one was available. At least in the state.
Yep.
So they back on set, Carrie says that she can fill in until they find somebody else. And she's, you know, doing all this movie stuff. It's a big deal. They're like describing the next scene that's coming up. She's like she gets super into it. And then we get to that night, one of my favorite tropes. There was a tree lighting.
I was excited for the tree lighting. I'm like, yay, a tree lighting.
I was excited too.
Yeah.
It was like the fastest tree lighting in history. They were like, it was the stars did the tree lighting. And they were like, thank you so much for coming. 3, 2, 1, lights.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I will say though, I don't think you mentioned this, but she was making him a Santa.
Yes.
Costume, right? And so when they first bring her to set, they're like, he's playing Santa or a version of Santa. He has to look like Santa. We need a costume that's like going to make him look like a fun Santa or whatever. And so she's like, okay, whatever. I'll throw something together. what she did was just throw on a parka, a red parka that was stuffed with stuffing to make him look fat. And that was her costume decision.
And she came up with like a bit that they could do that because the parka was so big, he could hardly reach the girl to kiss her. And it was going to be hilarious.
Yeah. It just looked dumb. If I was Caleb, I would have deeply regretted buying everything in this woman's store.
Everybody loved it. Everybody on set.
Everybody loved it. It was the best thing I've ever seen. Yeah.
And speaking of Caleb, the director, he's got his own little issues going on because the woman who wrote the movie. And let me ask you, is the writer usually on set every day?
Well, no, technically it depends. Okay. These days there's a lot of writer directors, but if you have If you're a writer director, yes. If you're just a writer, no, you don't belong on set, and they won't let you on set a lot of times. Yeah.
That's what I thought. So anyway, so she's the writer. I think Caleb's the director, or is he
no,
the
she's the writer director. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That makes more sense though.
And clearly
so
they've
Caleb
been a team.
And Jill, the writer director. Mm-hmm. Right. Yes, they are, but now they are divorced. They had been married and did some great work together, and now they're divorced, but still working on this. And I wrote on my notes, they're divorced and will only speak through a personal, through a PA, but they will be back in love by the end of the movie. Don't worry.
Yeah. And they wouldn't speak to each other directly. They had this poor little PA, whatever her name was, Terry, tell Jill that I've been producing movies for 5 years and she doesn't know what she's talking. Terry, tell Caleb that he used to trust me. And so that was their little bit. They were always talking through the production assistant.
Yeah.
These days, it seems like everybody's talking, but no one is actually listening to the things they're saying. Critical thinking isn't dead, but it's definitely low on oxygen. Join me, Kira Davis, on Just Listen to Yourself every week as we reason through issues big and small, critique our own ideas, and learn to draw our talking points all the way out to their logical conclusions. Subscribe to Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis, an FCB radio podcast, on Apple, on Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did Paul Revere really say the British are coming? And how was George Washington chosen to lead the first American army? Join us for the Growing Patriot Podcast, a place for curious kids to ask the big questions about our nation's history and get kid-friendly answers from the country's top experts. Help your child learn about and cherish America's exceptional history. Subscribe to Growing Patriots on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts today.
But with that, with doing the tree lighting, that was the commercial break. They hire her. They decide to hire her for a few days, commercial break. And then we're back to the panel a year later.
Yeah, right.
And they asked how they chose the location and they were like, well, there were tax incentives.
It's like we don't have to put too much thought into this.
Anyway, so they go. So now we're back at the tree lighting and they're talking about, we got Caleb and Jill again talking about how if they can work together and get this movie in under budget, they're going to get a 6-picture deal with Dazzle. Dazzle Direct or Dazzle Prime or whatever it's called, which is their streaming channel, clearly. Gonna get a 6-picture deal. And they talk about, you know, we used to be like the best at this. We're gonna have to just be able to do it.
Yeah, they're aiming to become the Adam Sandlers of Hallmark Universe. Strike that big deal with the streaming network and just rake in the millions with your Christmas movies.
That's what they're gonna do. It's lunch break the next day on set. Carrie is still there. Caleb is still calling everyone he can think of to try to get somebody else. And Nancy, Carrie's mom, shows up at craft services to have lunch, which I thought was strange. And Carrie thought was strange. But Caleb is like, hey, come have lunch with us. So, okay, whatever.
Yeah, well, you know what? She looks like a nice lady. She looks like a nice lady. She was excited. She was certainly more excited than her daughter was.
She's a huge fan. Yeah.
And she's a big Christmas person. You know, why wouldn't you invite her in? She loves Christmas. Like, she was just a little ray of sunshine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. She was. So that night there, Carrie and her mom are at home and Caleb shows up at her house to hire her officially. Because bottom of the barrel, Carrie, we can find literally no one else.
Literally no one in the country, in the state. I mean, every costume designer on earth was booked.
Yeah. Which leaves us with you.
Carrie was just the last choice.
Yeah. And Carrie was watching a Brad Baxter movie when showed up. So she's starting to.
Showed up.
Yep. So she's starting to get a little curious.
She's starting. Yeah. Because she doesn't watch Christmas movies. So. She decided to put it on. Let me check out this guy, see what he's about. Oh, maybe he is kind of decent. You know, maybe this wasn't such a bad idea.
And maybe Christmas movies aren't so bad. Maybe I can enjoy this stuff.
Yeah. She's starting her cold black heart is starting to melt just a little bit.
A little bit. Back to the panel, they're asking how Santa became so hip, which I thought was interesting. So back on set, we find out that Dazzle is not loving the original costume she came up with, and they need to like stylize it. So she basically, over a lunch break, they're like, everybody's at lunch right now. Yeah. When we start shooting again after lunch, he needs a whole new costume. And she like rips out a couple seams, sews a couple bits and bobs on there, and comes up with this like hipster Santa outfit that everyone is crazy about.
She totally Project Runway'd that thing. She did it in 30 minutes. So like lunch break on a movie set is not that long. Yeah. She did it in 30. She had a pin in her hand and a ribbon last I saw her. And she was like, what? I'll do, how do I change this big parka into an amazing boom, 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 snip, 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 so. Yeah. And he is the hottest looking Santa.
Yeah, he had
ever.
Like a long red like pea coat, and he had like a plaid,
like a vest and vest, tie, hipster like pants, skinny
hipster
jeans.
Red pants.
Yeah.
And they put like, I noticed they put like a little bit of white in the actor's beard and his hair, but not a lot. Not like full on Santa, but like hipster beard.
He looked good, actually.
He did.
I'm going to tell you, Amelia, I actually wanted to see that movie that
I would
he was filming.
Watch My Favorite Santa.
Yeah.
And okay, so everybody absolutely loves it.
Yeah,
and
she's
then
just hit it out of the park.
Hit it out of the park. And then Caleb mentions to her like, oh, hey, so we're going to, you know, and be returning the half of the stuff we're not going to use. And we have this extra tree on set. You can have the tree. And I think we're supposed to feel really bad because, you know, she thought that she had sold like the entire stock of her store. Mm-hmm. And all she's getting in return is this tree. But like, he did make it really clear up front. He said, what's your return policy? I think she should have been aware that he wasn't keeping all of it.
And I know what costumes on movie sets cost, and they pay you like $1 billion a day. She made good money. If you use your own clothes, if you provide your own clothes, you get a stipend for that. Like you get paid for bringing your own clothes to set.
She's going to be okay. Don't worry, everybody.
She's going to be fine. But obviously she's upset. She thought that she was going to have a larger profit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's at home still looking for jobs. And I loved that her laptop had the marble looking laptop case, which is a Hallmark staple prop. The marble, you know, covered the Apple.
Yeah.
So you can't tell it's a MacBook because it has a marble case on it. I was so happy to see it. It was like classic Hallmark. I was excited.
Yes.
So we find out, she's talking to her mom in this scene, and we find out that her dad passed away, and Carrie missed his last Christmas because she thought that he had more time. And that is kind of why Christmas is not her thing. So we're learning about Carrie, but she feels a little guilty about that. All right. Meanwhile, while she's talking to her mom, Brad and Mariah are at the hotel, and I thought she was going to be a mean girl. I thought she was going to be like,
me too,
standard big city mean girl. She was so nice. She was a sweet girl.
Yeah.
Friend of Brad's, nice to Carrie. She was kind of teasing Brad like, hey, you and Carrie, you kind of have a little vibe going. And he's like, you know, I don't do any on-set romances. It's not going to happen.
I think this was what was missing for me in the movie, was there wasn't a whole lot of tension. Mm-mm. And there was, that was a opportunity to bring in some tension, right? Like we've seen it in these plot lines before where the co-star maybe had like a past relationship and maybe she wants to rekindle something, but he falls in love, like, or maybe the female protagonist mistakes their relationship, right, for something romantic, and that causes problems with them. And there just was no tension there at all. She was just like a bro.
Yeah.
And then I was like, maybe they're going to make her gay. And maybe they did, because I know Hallmark's doing a lot more of that lately. Like maybe they were going to make her the gay side character and explain like she's got a girlfriend or something. And that's why her and Brad would never get together. That's why she's not a threat. But they didn't even do that. Mm-mm. So anyway, the actress was lovely and she was a lovely character.
Okay, Carrie, we find out that she also went to fashion school, but quit after one semester because she didn't get in the school fashion show. So
that's what I do when I don't get the thing I want. I quit
immediately.
Like my freshman year. Yeah. There's 4 more years of school and probably no freshman gets into the fashion show,
right.
But
But I'm done.
Yeah.
All right, back to the panel. They're asked what their favorite scene is, and they're all like, oh, it was the bakery. So what I thought was interesting, so they show, obviously, they go back then to where they're filming this scene in the bakery, and right behind him in the shot, there's like the guy holding the boom mic and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all those people are going to be in the shot because they're standing directly behind him. But they had to show you that they're filming at this point. This is not a real scene. This is a movie within the movie scene. So as the two characters are having a conversation, Caleb realizes that when Jill wrote this movie, the dialogue was all about their marriage and having somebody on your side and by your side is so important. And that's how you can like move forward in life. And he's like, oh my gosh, that was our story.
Again, I that whole relationship, again, it wasn't tense enough even, but there was more tension in that relationship than there was in the main love story.
Maybe they thought they could like do proxy tension or something.
Maybe because they do that sometimes, right? And make the side characters your proxies for things you can't get in with your main character. But yeah, they realize, wow, they have done a lot of work together. Yeah, and a lot of it's been good.
They had a beautiful thing.
Yeah. What do you think broke them up?
I think from what we find out later, they just weren't communicating very well. they weren't talking about how much they appreciated each other.
Lack of communication. I am 100% sure from everything I know about I have an extensive knowledge of the gossip pages, the entertainment gossip. So from everything I know from being an expert on celebrity gossip, I am almost 100% sure that Caleb had an affair with a starlet on the set of one of their But probably Jill was really absorbed with her work at the time too. Writer, director, that's a lot of work. You know, you don't have time to invest in the marriage the way you used to. You guys used to be partners, but then you're at odds over things. And there's a pretty new girl on set, actress anxious to take a step up in the world. And maybe Caleb just slipped up once, you know, because he was just lonely. He's just lonely. He wasn't like, wasn't trying to leave Jill. He loved Jill.
Blind item.
I do. I'm pretty sure that like, because Robert Rodriguez is a very famous director and producer. And he did, he worked with the last movie he did is escaping me now. Someone can fill me in. But he worked with Rose McGowan on his last film, and he runs a production company with his wife, his longtime wife of like 20 years. But they did this movie a few years ago. Rose McGowan was the lead, and he started having an affair with Rose McGowan, but his wife was the main producer on the movie. So his wife was on set all the time. They ended up getting divorced over it, but they're still production partners. They still work together, and they still have a very successful production.
They are definitely
company.
Caleb and Jill.
Yeah. So this is how I imagine Caleb and Jill going. Yeah.
It's a lot to think about.
Yeah. It's a lot to think about.
The next shot made me so happy. Carrie is decorating her free Christmas tree with her mom, and she goes to get the ornaments, and they're all in this box that just says Balsam Hill across it.
I did. I was like,
I miss that old school product placement.
I do. And Hallmark, I feel, is like really missing the ball because they have so much for sale. Every freaking Hallmark movie should have a blatant product shot in it for their own stuff.
I know. So the mom is kind of talking to her about like, so you and Brad seem to be kind of warming up to each other. And then she's like, you know, anything's possible. You guys could be together, blah, blah, blah. But what the audience is finding out that Carrie and Nancy don't know is that Brad, these calls that he's getting from his agent are about a big movie in London. So that's something a little different. But in the meantime, my favorite Santa is still filming, and he sort of finagles an invitation to dinner with Carrie and her mom at their house. And
this is the part of the movie where my husband perked up again, and we were watching it together. He was in his computer, but someone said the words fried and chicken. And my husband was like, oh, fried chicken. He was back in. He was out, then he was back in.
Your husband's a good cook. Maybe you've got a fancy dinner in your future. Maybe he got inspired.
Well, It's just that my husband loves fried chicken. Like he is,
he does like to cook though.
He does like to cook, but chicken is like everywhere we go. Well, fried chicken, he would literally eat every day. He would eat it if me and my daughter were okay with it. Everywhere we go, Amelia, if we drive by a restaurant with the word chicken on the sign, my husband, like to a T, it never fails. And I mean, never. He will go, ooh, chicken. That looks good. And he has no way to tell if it is good.
Right.
He just thinks it looks good because the word chicken is on the sign. So as soon as the mom was like, I'm making my famous fried chicken. And he was like, my husband was like, ooh, chicken.
He's like, I'm listening.
I was like, all right, he's back in. Fried chicken. So Brad's going to go over to mom and Carrie's house for some great fried chicken. And
so the mom ends up making a full Christmas dinner. So I was kind of like, was it still fried chicken or did she make like a turkey or something? Because now she's making Christmas dinner. I hope he still got his fried chicken.
I mean, I hope so, but maybe she does the fried chicken instead of turkey. Maybe she's like maybe a little bit.
Your tradition.
Yeah. We're just going to do something Let's a little different. Is. Yeah.
They start talking about how Brad Baxter is the king of Christmas and maybe he could play George Bailey if they ever do a remake of It's a Wonderful Life. And It's a Wonderful Life mega fan, I was offended. That movie should never be remade. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
I was not feeling his Jimmy Stewart impression, but I'm just gonna have to let it go.
At first, I missed the It's a Wonderful Life reference. I was doing something, I don't know, probably hitting the refresh on election results. And then he did the impression and somebody was like, that was so good. And I was like, I don't know what it was.
I actually rewound.
I was like, I don't know what impression he was doing. And then it was Jimmy Stewart. And I'm like, no, that was the worst. I did not know that that's what it was. But anyway,
that's what was happening.
A plus for effort, I guess.
Yeah. He started talking about, there were some weird like allusions in this scene. Like nobody's really saying anything, but like he made up an allusion about being set up to fail. And then he talked about like how his parents have been so in love for 40 years, but the way he said it, I thought he was lying. I thought we were going to find out he came from a broken home.
Like he seemed sarcastic. They've been just
or like he was being like sketchy. Like he wants her to think that he comes from that kind of family, but he didn't. It was strange. But then when they went to say goodnight out on the front porch, I thought that this scene was filmed a little odd. It looked like maybe they did. They like decided they needed to add this scene at the end and they couldn't get the same actors or the actors on the same day. So they like just filmed them one at a time, each of them saying their lines, you know,
maybe it could have been that. Yeah.
It looked a little awkward. Meanwhile, okay, so he goes home. Carrie's still applying to jobs. And then we go a year ahead of time back to the panel. And somebody asks about on-set romances and things get super awkward.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so back to filming the movie.
Back, here we go. Back to the movie. We do not need the cuts to the panels. No, we didn't need them at all. They weren't helpful.
So he gives her a card, which I thought was a great opportunity to get Hallmark. And they're like, hey, we still sell cards. Basically asking her on a date. And they have this whole conversation in the third person about like, a guy would like to take a girl out to dinner. And she's like, well, what should the girl, is it, does the girl know it's a date or does the guy intend it to be a date? It was all very strange. But anyway, they're going on a date.
Yeah. They're going on a date, maybe in the small town, maybe on the movie set.
Yeah.
Who knows? Your guess is as good as mine.
It turns out it was on the set because we have somebody sprinkling snow on them. Because what I want when I go out on a date, I want someone else to be there.
That's right.
just like standing in the rafters over us. Dropping fake snow behind the fake window.
Yeah. And while they sit there and it's like, I actually said, cause they were sitting at a dinner table that was set up on this soundstage and they had a PA, like an assistant dropping snow. So it looked, and I thought to myself, this is like The Bachelor. It's like a scene from The Bachelor. My daughter and I are big Bachelor franchise fans. And whenever they have a one-on-one date and this is exactly how it was set up. It was set up like it's a table with a couple of drinks and food on it that clearly no one eats. Like, right. And in the Bachelor universe, they always say, oh, no, you never eat the food because the producers have set that food out hours ago,
right.
And you'll get sick. So you don't eat the food. It just sits there. And then you sit there and have this very deep private conversation while you're surrounded by a camera crew. And right. That's exactly what this looked like.
That's what it felt like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did Paul Revere really say the British are coming? And how was George Washington chosen to lead the first American army? Join us for the Growing Patriot podcast, a place for curious kids to ask the big questions about our nation's history and get kid-friendly answers from the country's top experts. Help your child learn about and cherish America's exceptional history. Subscribe to Growing Patriots on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts today.
These days, it seems like everybody's talking, but no one is actually listening to the things they're saying. Critical thinking isn't dead, but it's definitely low on oxygen. Join me, Kira Davis, on Just Listen to Yourself every week as we reason through issues big and small, critique our own ideas, and learn to draw our talking points all the way out to their logical conclusions. Subscribe to Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis and FCB Radio Podcast on Apple, on Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So there was also some more Balsam Hill stuff around, which I appreciated. Mm-hmm. So he talks about how he once gave up a major indie film, Sunrise. What was it called? Sunrise Road, something.
Sunrise Highway.
Sunrise Highway.
Gave up Sunrise Highway.
And he gave it up because it was something new and it kind of, he got a little nervous.
He didn't want to, he had a reputation as a good guy, good mm-hmm. Santa guy.
Yep.
And he didn't want to ruin that reputation by taking a risk on an indie film.
Yes. But Hallmark takes a risk because the two of them start dancing and they kiss. And I paused it for the timestamp, 1 hour and 9 minutes halfway through and they're kissing. Oh my goodness.
I think again, it was ruined by the flashback scenes. Mm-hmm. You know, the flashback scenes made us have to have that kiss earlier.
Right. That's true. Because they were talking about on-set romance. Yep. You're right. Right. So they're walking through town. And again, I could not tell if this was a real town
or
if they were still on the
set. No, I literally have it in my notes. I'm like, are they on set or are they walking through the real town?
Yeah, I didn't know. And there was a sign behind them that just said hardware store. And I thought, well, there used to be last year. Remember, there was the Ace Hardware product place. Yes. And I loved it. And I was like, so does that mean that they're on set or just that Ace isn't sponsoring them this year? I don't know what that means. But she starts talking about how she enjoys him and he's doing a great job in the movie. And he goes, I'm just an actor playing a role. And I wrote that down because I was like, ooh, this is going to be the fight later. And she's going to be like, oh, you're just an actor playing a role. No, it also went nowhere. So I was wrong again.
Yeah. Another red herring. Yeah. Just something didn't pan out.
But she decides it's time for a snowball fight. And I was
so happy. I got so happy, Amelia.
Yeah. And it was actually kind of cute because she makes a little snowball and throws it at him and it's fake set snow. So it just like disappears.
That actually made me laugh.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of cute. Yeah. It was a cute little nod to the cheesiness of a Hallmark.
Yeah. And then they did another sort of Hallmark feeling, traditional Hallmark feeling thing is he's like, but you can make snow angels in it. So he lays down and then he's like, oh, I can't get up, and grabs her hand and pulls her down on top of him. Yeah, exactly. Yes, so it is that whole thing. The next day she gets a call from that design firm and we don't know what they said yet. We know she's going to get an interview, and she says, it's on Zoom in New York. And I was like, well, Zoom is everywhere.
Right. Yeah. You're fine.
Can stay in Colorado. It's fine. Just
on Zoom.
And then, so now we're on set and she's basically directing the actors at this point.
Yeah.
She's like telling them how to act in this scene and how to play it and what their motivation is. And I was like, okay, everyone seems fine with it though. Jill's not mad. So,
well, I think at this point they're all a family. They've all been working together. She really pulled it out with that 30-minute Santa suit, and it changed the whole tone of the movie. And I know that writers/directors, film writers and directors love it when the costume department comes in and starts directing the cast. It's a thing.
Mm-hmm. It's their favorite.
Yeah.
So at night, she and Carrie and Paul are going for another little walk, and Paul's agent calls. And it turns out he has been offered the lead in this movie that he has been talking to his agent about this whole time.
It's called You mean Brad?
Brad. Why did I call him Paul? I don't know. Brad. And so he's been offered the movie, this movie, Ryan's Game. It's filming in London. And he's like, I want you to come with me and do the costumes. So again, I think another thing that like producers love is when the cast offers jobs to people.
That's right. Right. I know that producers love nothing more than when an actor says, oh, I've got a costumer for you. And it's a
I've already offered them the job. It's not a recommendation.
And it's my romantic interest from the last movie set I was on.
Right. And it always works out. So I think it's going to go well.
Yeah. Oh, it always works out to hire your set romance from the previous film to go to your new film. Yeah, I love that. But I guess got that type of cachet though, because look, we didn't mention this, Amelia, but we need to mention one of the reasons I was looking at my notes while you're talking. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why there are no costumers anywhere is because Matt Damon has stolen away all the good ones. He's filming a new film. Mm. And at one point, Caleb, the producer, was like, ah, I lost her to Matt Damon again. And I was like, and of course I can't hear Matt Damon without going, Matt Damon. And then I was like, I was thinking, yeah, that's probably what's happening is all of these costume designers, they're all flocking to Matt Damon. I do believe, it's my sincere belief, that this at Tom Cruise's act three of his career is also taking a lot of resources from the costuming industry. I think Tom Cruise is everywhere right now. He's making a lot of movies. He's remaking some of his old movies. Mm-hmm. And you don't say no. If Tommy calls you, it's like, I need you to come and bring your needles. I gotta go. Yes, I know that that the Santa movie is filming in Colorado, maybe not Colorado, but what's important is making sure that the next Top Gun movie looks good. True. So I just want people to know, like, they were dealing with a lot of challenges here. And so maybe he can hire the costumer. Maybe he can bring the costumer with him, because Matt Damon and Tom Cruise got that kind of cachet. They got that kind of swagger. Why can't Brad Baxter be the guy that's like, I'm taking the costume department too.
Okay.
All right.
Flashback to the future. They get asked the craziest thing that went wrong, and it is the Santa's workshop scenes. So now back to Santa's workshop scenes. Basically, they don't get a set that they were supposed to use, so they turn her store into Santa's workshop, and it's adorable. And
yeah, they needed a set for Santa's workshop, and then whatever happened, there was a fire, I think.
Yeah, there was a fire.
Yeah, which the fireman seemed super casual about. He was like, well, sorry, you can't go in, but fire's out. Anyway, we do see a nice little scene there where the whole town's working together to see what can we come up with. The mayor, this actor for the mayor is always the mayor in some, I see him a lot. He was the mayor a lot last year. The mayor, Amelia, in this tiny town says he's tried the old sugar factory, the old windmill, and the old, you know, whatever warehouse. He's tried everything, and not a single place can accommodate the movie set. What all is going on in this town?
And I don't understand how her store is comparable to any of those. It's like a normal retail looking space. Yeah. And the other things that they tried, like you said, it was literally like a barn was the original space. And then it was like a mill and a blah, blah. And it's like, or we could just use this retail space.
Right. We could use generic looking. They made it work anyway.
Yeah. So we find out that Brad turned down the London job, but twist, Carrie turned down the New York job to go to London with Brad. Mm-hmm. And he failed to mention to her that he was not going to take the job after all.
This is, I think, one of the, I honestly believe that move was one of the crappiest moves I've seen in Hallmark. I thought that was so cheap of him. He invited her to come to London, invited her to have this job, invited her to, you know, get on this celebrity ride with him. And she turned down. Ladies, don't move for the boy. Get yourself established somewhere first and then move if you want to. But don't move for the boy, because you can't depend on the boy unless he's got a ring on it.
I was going to say, don't move for the ring. Boy.
Mm-mm. No. And I don't mean an engagement ring. I mean wedding ring. I mean a wedding ring.
And don't, like, maybe just, you should probably double check before you quit your job.
Right, right, right. Also, she could, because Amelia, she put a lot of work into getting that job. She Googled fashion designer.
She did. She had one phone call.
She got on Zoom. She opened a Zoom account. I mean, she did a lot of work to get that job, and she turned it down.
And while he was the crappy one here, she was not the smartest. She did not. She needed to do a little more due diligence about this.
100%.
And she just goes, well, I guess he's still showbiz Brad.
I mean, shocker, you knew him for three days.
So I wrote down, couldn't she just do more Caleb/Dazzle movies? Because they all love her.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. I didn't understand.
Again, it's crappy that he did this.
It is super crappy.
Yeah. I call him Paul again. What's wrong with me? That Brad did this. But I think she's still going to be okay.
No, she's definitely going to be okay, because didn't they say at some point they signed, because the production company was so happy with the shoot that they signed a six.
Yeah, that comes later.
Oh, that comes later. But obviously you've impressed these people. You've you project runwayed yourself into a good position with this production company. They like you. They even let you direct a scene. Like, you're set. Okay. You're fine.
You are totally fine. And so is the movie. The movie is over. There's a rap party tonight. She and Brad are a little awkward about being at a rap party. And the Jill and Caleb, the divorcees, they're like, thanks everybody for your hard work. Also, we're in love. We're getting back together. Oh yeah. And it was just kind of like, it was really funny. Like,
yeah.
I mean, good for them just jumping in. I was like, maybe take it slow. Make sure it's going to work before you tell a lot of people. But hey, they're in.
I mean, I think obviously Jill and Caleb maybe have some issues moderating their emotions. It might have been one of the original issues with their marriage. But yeah, I mean, they had to use a PA to talk to each other. So clearly but you know what? Whatever. I wish them the best. Yeah. And I think I love the idea of them working together on Christmas movies. Frankly, bring back Caleb and Jill as recurring characters throughout the Hallmark universe. That. Yeah. Let them, you know, and because we're going to have more plots that involve movie sets or entertainment culture in some way.
Absolutely. All right. Back to the panel. But I think it's still in the past. No. Yes. Okay. So back to the panel.
See, we don't. It's
just, I know. I don't even know what's going on anymore. So they talk about if they're going to do a sequel, and they are. It's called My Favorite Santa 2, but it's spelled T-O-O. And it's a Lady Santa, played by Mariah. And they're like, well, are you going to film it in the same town? And okay. So yes, this is at the after party after the panel.
Yes. Okay. So we're now in present day, the panel has wrapped up. Okay.
And they're at the little after party. Yes. So the mayor is like, you're going to film it in the same town. And they're like, oh, I don't know. And he's like, you said you would. He whips out this recording device and plays this thing of them saying that they're going to do the sequel there. And I was like, is it not a two-party consent state? Can you just record people? Is this a normal way to conduct business? Like, I recorded you saying yes. Like, I felt like that was an aggressive move.
And also, like, why did you know to do that? Has there been other incidences where
I think he trapped him into saying it.
I don't know what Colorado laws are. Here in California, that recording would not be legal.
Right.
But if you're in public, you don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy.
Oh, that's true. It could have been in public.
Yeah.
And
that wraps up the policy review from Amelia and Kira.
So they're at this after party, and Brad and Carrie talk a little bit, and then he's like, well, see you around. And he walks away. Then he comes back and apologizes and tells her, you made me real. And it made me think of like Pinocchio or something, like, I'm a real boy. I thought that was kind of a weird thing to say. Like, that seems like a lot of pressure for her.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing was weird. I thought the ending was tacked on. I felt like this movie was missing some parts.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the whole thing was weird.
But so I've just got two more things. He promises that he'll never leave her again. And they start to pretty heavily, like, for Hallmark, this was some pretty intense kissing right in the middle of this party. Everybody's looking at him. Then they go outside and, you know, walk off into the sunset, I guess.
Yeah, I just thought it was tacked on because we barely even had a chance to settle in with the idea that they were upset with each other over this,
right?
You know, this job situation, right? And because then we flash right forward back to that panel, and I think we're supposed to understand that a year or 6 months has passed. I guess a year because they're back at Christmas,
right?
And all this time has passed. And that they've been apart this whole time. And I guess we're supposed to feel the tension in that. And so, but there was no, like, usually in these movies, there's some kind of misunderstanding. There's something to overcome. Yeah. There is that big, like, oh, is that mea culpa at the end? You know, that running to the airport scene type thing. But this was like, there was no tension. We flash back to the present. We come back to the present. They're at this party. They have a couple of looks across the room. He goes to speak to her, says something careless, turns around, and then turns around again. Like, you know what? No, I want you back. And then that's it. And then they're back.
Right.
I just felt it was jarring to me.
It was. It ended very quickly. But overall, this felt like a real Hallmark movie, unlike the last one.
More so.
I enjoyed it. I didn't dislike it. Yeah. I don't think it's one that I'm going to be watching for every year when it comes around and make sure I DVR it.
Yeah.
But I definitely enjoyed watching it.
I enjoyed watching it. Again, we love Kimberly Sustad. I really always enjoy her. And I like John Brotherton. And I like his vibe. I mean, he's kind of silly, goofy. I liked some of the, you know, I liked that side story of the fighting divorcees. It was super cute. And I liked it overall. I definitely think that this is a good movie to get yourself warmed up for. Mm-hmm. Because when is we're going to like launch it? Are they doing launch weekend, Thanksgiving weekend? Like where they do? Do like 24/7.
They are doing well. So Thanksgiving weekend, Thanksgiving Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they're premiering two movies a day.
Okay.
For 3 days.
Yeah. That's when I will do nothing, nothing but sit in front of the TV every day. So it's a good lead into that. I liked it. And that's all I have to say. Like, I liked it.
Yeah,
but I do love it. It is one of my more enjoyable plot devices, in my opinion. I do like the celebrity comes to town and woos the girl who really couldn't care about his celebrity. Let's do a plot line where she does really care about his celebrity. Mm-hmm.
Where she's
Let's
like a super fan.
Turn it on its head. Let's see how that love story goes. I don't know if you ever watched 2.5 Men back in the early days when it was good, but Charlie had a crazy stalker neighbor. Mm-hmm. I can't remember her name. She's on Yellow Jackets now and she's great. I love her. Anyways, she's his stalker, literally a stalker. And he's always like scared of her and weirded out by her. But as the series goes on and when she finds another object of her affection, he starts to be like, oh, I really love her. Like, I love that she, like, where is she? I miss her. Maybe that could be the plot. Well,
there you go.
Okay, that wraps up this movie. I do have a couple questions for you, Amelia. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, so Brad Baxter says that he turned down a big movie, Sunrise Highway, and that mm-hmm. could have been, it's like, I think Brad Pitt said he turned down Lord of the Rings, and that was like a big one that he deeply regrets, and Will Smith turned down The Matrix. This is his Matrix that he turned down. So it sounds like Sunrise Highway went on to make someone like a huge, huge star. And it could have been his key to superstardom. But what do you think Sunrise Highway was about?
For some reason, it felt to me like a romantic melodrama where the person dies and they never get together. And it's sad. That's what it felt like to me, like a romantic melodrama. And I don't really know what the plot was in my head, but
something that gave him a chance to flex his like dramatic muscles.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I took it to be.
All right.
Did you have a theory?
Yeah, I did. I did have a theory. Actually, mine's a little darker. I thought that Sunrise Highway was about this sort of loner dude who with a mysterious past who's just kind of traveling across the country by himself looking for, you know, just trying to find himself, and comes across an abandoned boy at a diner. He's just been abandoned by somebody, don't know who, but it turns out the boy has some kind of mysterious superpower, and suddenly they're pursued by strange government agents, and they have to escape across the country pursued by these government agents, and he has to find out who this boy is and why.
I would watch
so that. I looked at it as I looked at it almost as a like looking at Sylvester Stallone kind of having that resurgence in his career with the Expendables. Or like I looked at it, or like Liam Neeson with Taken, where I looked at this as something that was going to make him an action hero. And that's really what he wanted. He wanted to be like that Tom Cruise level. He wants to be the guy that costumers leave their set work for. So that's what I thought about Sunrise Highway. I like my version better. I think I'd go see my version at the movie before yours.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I would not see my version.
Well, let's see the other movie that he was going to go make in London. He was going to go make a movie in London called Ryan's Game. What do you think Ryan's Game is about?
And I don't know if I said this, but actually he ended up going to make it anyway.
He did. That's right.
He did go make it. And she's working on the Dazzle Christmas movie. So everybody's fine.
Right. Just like
Ryan's Game in my head is a movie I would see. It's like a spy thriller. And the game is like, you know, getting all the like people who don't realize this, that there are little pieces in his game together to like stop a terrorist attack or something.
Ooh, I like that one. Mm-hmm. I like that one. Okay. Mine was kind of similar. I think it was a thriller, and I think that Ryan has 12 hours to live, and he has to decipher a puzzle that has like a lot of clues in it. And he has to spend the movie trying to find the clues, because the puzzle at the end of the puzzle, if he wins, he'll get the cure to whatever his disease is.
And then Da Vinci Code, maybe.
Yeah, a little Da Vinci Code, a little 88 minutes with Al Pacino. Mm-hmm. That's a very cheesy movie. That's a great watch. It's a terrible movie, but it's a great watch. And then, yeah, he has to find out like who's playing this game with him, Ryan's Game. So, and then maybe Ryan turns the tables on them at the end of the movie. Yeah. So that's what I think Ryan's Game is. I think we see Brad Baxter transition into an action movie star a la Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson was a very handsome leading man for a while. We never really thought of him as an action hero. Then he did Taken, and boom, it's the only thing he's been doing for the last 20 years, and he's doing it well. Yeah. So.
People laughed when they saw Bruce Willis on the poster for Die Hard.
Yep. Yeah.
He was a romantic lead.
They didn't get it. I didn't get it. So yeah, that's where I think Brad goes after this. That's the career turn he takes. Well, all right. That was Lights, Camera, Christmas. Thank you so much, Amelia. What do we have coming up?
The next one is going to be super fun. It is A Royal Nanny.
I can't wait.
And that's the one where there's the undercover MI5 agent as a nanny. We're going to be joined by a friend of the show, Royal commentator Kinsey Schofield, who is going to tell us exactly how accurate this movie is. And I assume it's perfectly accurate that this is exactly what it's like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we did the Navy ship episode, and we found out just how much Hallmark fact checks their set. Exactly. So I have full confidence. Yes. I can't wait. I was watching the ads during the movie, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this looks so fun.
It does. It looks super fun. And then after that, the next week is going to be Three Wise Men and a Baby, which is another one that I am really excited to see.
They better not mess that up. I am super excited for it. Okay. So that is great. So that's what we're doing next week. If you want to watch along with us, go make sure to set your DVR. I like to record them on the DVR because I can fast forward through the commercials. You have the Friendly app, don't you, Amelia?
Yep. You can fast forward through the commercials on Friendly too.
Oh, you can? Okay. Very good. Okay.
So that is on Saturday, November 12th. Mm-hmm. This coming Saturday, November 12th, The Royal Nanny.
The Royal Nanny. And I also was watching ads for a movie with two black leads. As we know, we're familiar with Hallmark is expanding their cultural diversity, which we like, but we do miss the blinding whiteness of like old
Hallmark. Like a great sassy black best friend for a while.
Yeah, we don't get those anymore because now Hallmark is like getting with the times, but it was fun when we could make fun of them for not being with the times. But anyway, one of the leads is awesome Agent Curtis from 24, the series 24, which I have recently been rewatching, Amelia. It's just been a comfort show for me as I move through this election. And he is fantastic on that show. So I was so happy to see him. I'll be looking forward to watching that. And we will definitely be back with what's the name of it? The Nanny?
The Royal Nanny.
The Royal Nanny. We'll be back with the Royal Nanny. I mean, there's so many Royal and Nanny movies that I don't, you know, my bad. I'm sorry, but I'll have my act together. And I see, Amelia, there are, to my mind, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for Hallmark tropes in this movie and a lot of opportunities for product placement.
Yes. Good
so
point.
Those are two things I'm going to be looking for next week. All right, Amelia. Well, listen, thank you so much for breaking down this movie with us. Thank you for recommending it. I feel like we're starting to get into the swing of the season. Yeah. Until we meet again, Amelia, I wish you days filled with the knowledge that you could have any costume designer you want when you want it.
Oh my goodness. And I wish you the kind of power and prestige that a costume designer would leave me for you immediately.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, Amelia.
Christmas.
This has been a presentation of the FCB Podcast Network, where real talk lives. Visit us online at fcbpodcasts.com.